Michael Von Vanten works in the copy room of the New York Sun. A black patch on his eye from an old war wound, he is often referred to by the disputants as the Grand Master. One night, Von Vanten's nosy landlady is peering through the keyhole and finds the man staring at an ugly, hideous, bejeweled object. A little black doll.
He was dressed like one of them night fellas and began kissing some ugly nigger doll. He had some uniform with the Red Cross emblem, a coat with sheep's wool, and he's uttering some strange sounds.
She invites her Mahjong club to come up and see the show. Their vantage point is a skylight above the studio.
This time, he's standing on the statue of a dog, lifting a drink and whirling a sword around his head. He was saying these weird words that sound like Arabic or something.
The managing editor of the New York Sun has been meeting all day with higher-ups, deciding what they can do to crush the Jez Grew epidemic, which has now reached Chicago. When he walks into the office and inspects the new edition, he blows his top. There is a colossal mistake in the headline.
Thousands of copies are in the streets and are on the way. Too late to call him back. I'll kill that person. That savage eagle mother.
Private Castle, our Knight's Templar for the asking. It is rumored that they possess hidden seaports from where they sail to unknown continents. They arouse the envy of Europe's monarchs, who, jealous of their service to the Pope, would like to curb their power. They have powerful friends among the royalty, however. King Richard I of England is a patron, and King Alfonso of Aragon and Navarre wills his countries to them. But his plan is foiled by the Moors. King Baldwin I grants the Templars his palace as their headquarters.
Von Vanten, we tried to give you a chance, Pops, but now you are through. We had orders from the occupation forces that no news of this war would be printed on the mainland. You give it a full banner headline. Voodoo generals surround Marines at Port-au-Prince. We warned you, Pop, but now you've really done it. Your style stunk anyway, too fancy. We like strong, lively, short verbs in present tenses, and you just can't adapt to this American style, Pops.
Damn you!
What?
You are boorish as your newspaper.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
You are a slob.
What?
You use ketchup at every meal, you don't change your clothes, your hair smells of grease.
Hey!
Every managing editor is his newspaper. Therefore, your newspaper is a slob.
Now, you wait a minute, Buster.
You are as lurid as your every page. Your concept of briefness will lead to inaccuracy and ultimately destroy the boo-boys you represent.
Look, Hinkle, I don't want to argue. We have our orders about this Haiti thing. Americans will not tolerate wars that can't be explained in simple terms of economics or the white man's destiny. Your headline has done considerable damage. Our switchboard is overloaded with questions from the populace concerning Haiti. A lot of them don't even know where it is.
Haiti is 21 degrees latitude by 72 degrees longitude.
Yeah, right. Anyway, mobs are checking out books from the 42nd Street Library on Haiti. This is the can of worms you've given us, and you have to go.
Oh, those cufflinks. Where did you find them?
Around the corner on 42nd Street. Yeah, he's got some knight in armor with the Red Cross on his chest. So what?
Not only are you a louse, but you are a desecrator as well. Death to the defilers!
That does it. You're crazy. Go pick up your pay and get out of here before I call the bulls.
You should be able to manage them very well, the way you ignore their corruption.
Voodoo generals surround Marines at Port-au-Prince.
Headlines setting headlines for the rubbish Americans call a newspaper. Taps with their torch murders, loveness, sugar daddies and heartthrobs. I didn't mind the cheap stock, the lack of eloquence, the inclination for synonyms. I accomplished what I set out to do. Now my ancient employers will have to turn to me. They will trace the Haitian leak to me, and then they will want to bargain.
Get in.
I beg your pardon.
You know what this is.
Oh, yes, a revolver.
Like I was saying, get in.
Oh, since you insist. Of course.
The headquarters of the Wallflower Order. You have nothing real up here. Everything is polyurethane, polystyrene, lucite, plexiglass, acrylic, mylar, teflon, phenolic, polycarbonate. A gallimaufry of synthetic materials. Neat, clean, accurate, and precise. But one big yawn they got up here. You eat rays, and for snacks you munch on sound. Transplanting is real big here. Sometimes you play switchbrains and hide the heart. Lots of marching. Soon as these, like men, disappear, walking single file down the hall, here comes another row at you. The Atonis got rid of their spirit thousands of years ago. With him. The flesh is next. Plastic will soon prevail over flesh and bones. Death will have taken over. Why is it death you like? Because then no one will keep you up all night with that racket dancing and singing. The next morning, you can get up and build, drill, progress, putting up skyscrapers and working and stuff, you know? Keeping busy.
The headquarters of the Wallflower Order, backbone of the Atonis, is bustling with activity. They use a new invention, television, to scan the U.S. for Jez Rue activity at this moment, stirring Chicago. Wearing sandals and dressed like a Cecil B. DeMille extra, Hierophant, the first, paces the floor.
Jez Rue is compounded by the Mudafika, who are responsible for art thefts now ravishing the private collections of Europe and America.
America!
The Far Eastern Museum of Cologne has discovered several items from its Chinese collection missing.
Missing!
To add to this, the war launched by the Order against the Haitian nation has been exposed by a well-planted headline in the New York Sun.
New York Sun!
More books concerning Haiti have been checked out of American libraries than in the previous history of the library system.
More books!
Dance manias inundate the land! If Jess Crew slips into the radiolas,
all is lost.
Go on now. Yeah. Go on before I chucks you good with a stick. Quit following me. Yeah.
Woodrow Wilson Jefferson has decided to quit the farm and hit the big city. His grandfather had accompanied his slave master to New York in the 1850s and had returned with articles and editorials written by two gentlemen, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. He liked the style, objective, scientific, the use of the collective we.
Get out of here, damn it! Where's my stick?
Well, if it ain't Reverend Jefferson's boy, where you going with your hair all spruced down with butter? Where you on your way to?
I'm going on away from this damn town. That's where I'm going.
Well, excuse me.
Hinkle von Vanten.
Aha!
Why have you removed me from the city?
Jess Grew has gripped the vitals of America.
America!
You placed that headline in the New York Sun, our Atonist organ. We traced it to you. You knew what we were doing in Haiti, and you have the text, the nourishment of Jess Grew, without which it will soon wane.
Soon wane.
Hand it over.
I see. Now that the Teutonics have fumbled the latest crusade, you want me, a Templar, to bail you out, huh?
You know we're in trouble. You've seen the young men wearing slave bracelets sitting in the cafes quoting nigger poetry.
Yes, I've seen that.
The young women smoking luckies, wearing short skirts and staying out until 3 a.m.
Oh, you are desperate.
If you know that we are desperate, then you must know that we will go to any extreme to stop it. Therefore, if you don't yield the text, we will rub you out.
Rub you out?
Rub me out, huh? Gone is the rhetoric, the convoluted sentences, 300 words long with many parenthetical elements and modifying clauses. Separate from their objects, the logic and reason you were always so pleased with. Anxious about this Jess Crew epidemic, huh? Oh, you speak like the common bootleg merchant.
I don't want to be difficult. Bring the ritual dagger.
Bring the ritual dagger.
I don't have the text.
What?
You should have thought about the text the dark day, October 13th, 1307, when your King Philip IV and the Pope Clement he hired to do his dirty work brought the charges against my order, rounded up our leaders and executed them. After all we did to defend your wretched tales.
You are still Grand Master of the Knights Templar. Arrogant, proud. We had no choice but to bring you to trial. Your order became so powerful that it threatened ours. We are not in a position to share power. I'm merely the curator, the chief janitor, the custodian of a hierarchy which extends to the very top.
To the very top!
I was given my orders, and I had the Pope and my King execute them. The charges they brought against you were all proven, even worshipping the devil in the form of a cat, spitting, stamping, urinating on crucifixes, as well as participating in acts in which the Arabs' pharmacopoeia was used.
Was used.
You were accused of sodomy and kissing the tail of the black god Baphomet. You had to be dealt with for the sake of Christendom.
Christendom.
Without our order, there would have been no Christendom. We wanted to expand, and we were acquiring African powers as a result of our contact with the Arabs. You should have known when your King Philip IV was eaten by a boar on November 29, 1314, the month after our executed leader, Jacques de Molay, cursed him, and when Pope Clement V died on April 20th, 1314, after yelling, "I'm burning up, I'm burning up," that we learned more from the Saracens than to play chess or smoke hashish. Your Christendom was for serfs, for underlings, and the peasants.
The peasants.
Guards, get out of here.
Get out of here.
You arrested us, but some of us escaped. I came to America, where I have been able to hold our little band together, now scattered all over the globe, waiting for this day when you would be forced to admit your errors. And now it has arrived.
Hinkle, what did you do with the text?
You want the text, you fool. Did you think that the rival of Atonism would be quelled by giving fellowships and grants and aid?
Hinkle, we can make a deal. The text, please. Think of the cross, the Virgin.
We fought and died for the Virgin, the cross, and the cup. And what kind of a reward did we receive? Our lands burned, our property confiscated.
We need the text. Hinkle, I implore you.
If you really must know, it's in the hands of 14 JGC's individuals scattered throughout Harlem. Only I can call it in and anthologize it.
JGC's?
Yes, Jess Crew Carriers.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I send it out as a chain book.
So that's why my men weren't able to find it when they ransacked your apartment?
Yes, if Jess Crew is indeed seeking its text, I will be able to help you out. If it's not, I will also be able to aid you, but on one condition.
What is the condition?
Put my order in charge. Give us a chance to redeem our good name before the world.
Out of the question.
Jess Grew is inclined toward New York. It merely will have to be told what to do, and then...
The black tide of mud will engulf us all.
That is correct.
All right. All right. You win. The Knights Templar will be in charge of the anti-Jess Grew serum. I have no choice.
Yeah.
What do you need?
One, I will collect the text and it will be burned. Two, I will create the talking android so that New York resistance will be firm if Jess Grew decides to make a foray into the city. A few tricks I learned at the New York Sun will come in handy. You see, the Jess Grew carriers have no control over who speaks for them. It's in the hand of the present radio.
Go on. Go on.
What we will do is begin a magazine that will be attracting followers, featuring the kind of milieu it surrounds itself with. Just reviewers, cabarets, pornography, social issues, anti-prohibition, placed between acres of flappers, tits.
Tits?
Tits. Here we will feature the talking android who will tell the JGCs that Jess Grew is not ready and owes a large debt to Irish theater. This talking android will wipe the grin off its face.
Irish theater, good.
He will accuse it of verbal gymnastics, of pandering to white readers. He will describe it as a massive hemorrhage of malaprops, illiterate and given to rhetoric.
Rhetoric, good.
I will accomplish this within 6 months. I will imbibe the sacred poison.
Fair enough. It sounds like an excellent plan, Hinkle. A precaution in case the text isn't what the plague needs and a talking android who will knock it, bop it, or sock it.
Now you're catching on. You're grooving with the jive, H.
Our people will provide you with all the assistance you need. Their names are in this little black book.
Oh. Warren Harding.
Yes. We had problems trying to get him nominated. It took 10 ballots. H.L. Mencken termed him a series of wet sponges. Well, anyway, Harding is just a mason, so you may use him as you wish. There's another man. The first entry in the book under M. Who you call upon in an emergency. Yes, Walter Mellon.
Well, the only additional help I need is my old friend Hubert Safecracker Gould.
The only man of his generation who didn't go to jail?
Yes, I need him at my side for this crusade.
All right. We will destroy the Knights Templar trial records, the 36 feet of long scrolls decorated with those strange symbols your order was so fond of. They will be burned tonight at the Vatican. And Hinkle, Hinkle, if your order is successful, we will put you in charge of the next crusade.
And that is?
World War II. Oh. A bigger extravaganza than one, beyond the dreams of Lubitsch and DeMille. It is being choreographed at this very moment.
Exquisite.
What are you going to call the magazine?
The Benign Monster.
Give it the Freudian angle?
Yes.
Good. Good. Good.